Hey folks, welcome to a very important video from aplaintruth.info and questioning everything to find the truth. Our nuclear radiation, is nuclear bombs, is nuclear fallout real? Well, we're going to get into it today. I put it under seven chapters, eating radiation, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, fuck you, Shima, spent nuke fuel waste hoax, Chernobyl, Hanford, San Onofre, other examples. And Lookout Mountain, the atomic bomb and moon landing fakery. So we got in the news today about Kim Jong shutting down his nuclear site as Trump declares victory and being able to do it. But all the protests to end the nuclear armament since the 50s, since the 60s, since the 70s, since the 80s, since the 90s, 2000, 2010. We had the Fukushima alleged incident, nuclear radiation in 2011. All of the protests to disarm, disband, because nuclear radiation is so bad it'll destroy the Earth, mutually aided destruction. They're going to mutually destroy us if we set off the atomic bombs, and people protest right and left. Well, people understand it's huge, huge business for these corporations, General Electric, Bechtel, and all the rest of these. And of course, the United States leads the way in putting together nuclear power plants, alleged nuclear power plants. And China has huge ambitions to continue the onslaught of building nuclear power, even though we could destroy all life on Earth. But look at how much they made in Fukushima. $250 trillion on the Fukushima disaster, when in reality, these nuke plants you see like this are just wet surface air coolers to create weather, because we've destroyed the weather, their water vapor machines, for decades. And we've had many screaming and yelling. Helen Caldicott, who I gave this book, bought it, gave it out to a ton of people, because I was a believer in the nuclear crisis. I no longer am. But promoting the nuclear fallout, oh my God, we're going to destroy the Earth, we're going to destroy the Earth, we're going to destroy the Earth. Artie Gunderson, another nuclear insider, speaking out, getting in all the talk shows, speaking out about it. But one thing you have to understand, one thing it has to be clear, one thing you really, really got to understand is that energy is free. Tesla demonstrated that back in 1905. So this is critical to really understand that we've had free energy. And as we've just found out over the past year, airplanes, commercial airplanes, don't store fuel in the wings. They'd have to have the equivalent of like 83 Camaros and an A380, which is ridiculous. Well, let's get into the radiation half-life dangers. This is the long-term effect that's supposed to last for hundreds and thousands, and not only hundreds of thousands, but billions and billions of years. So half-life radiation ranges from a fraction of a second to billions of years, billions and billions. So plutonium-239 is 24,000 years, and uranium-238 is 4.5 billion years. Now, the Manhattan Project dropped uranium-235 and plutonium-239 on their Fat Man bomb. So that means that there was a shelf life of 24,000 years of radiation on the plutonium and 4.5 billion years of increased radiation to reach the half-life of in Nagasaki, Hiroshima. So we are told that the story of the uranium, it was 235 that was dropped off, and here we see from the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research, uranium-235 has a shelf life of 704 million years in its half-life, 704 million years. But you see the 238 I mentioned earlier has 4.46 billion years. All right, so let's look at this wonderful gentleman named Galen Windsor. Galen Windsor died in the 80s, but was before the internet, but was trying to tell the world that nuclear radiation and nuclear fission is a great hoax. And there's a three-hour documentary I'll include in here to go over. But you can clearly see this man knows what he's doing. I'll go over his bio at the end of this. But take a look at this and you decide for yourself.
You pour it out in the hand, and that's radioactive contamination. Is it radioactive? Yeah, it is. Very radioactive. Now, decontamination is nothing but scooping it back up and putting it into the bottle. I just now decontaminated my hand. No, I didn't do such a good job. Not good at all. Is it still radioactive? Yeah, that's called residual radioactivity. Now, under the decontamination rules of the government, when you decontaminate somebody like this that's that contaminated, and this is certainly a reportable incident under current DOE regulations, when you decontaminate him, it has to go down a controlled drain so that you don't disperse radioactivity. Do I qualify as a controlled drain? That material that I just ate is not soluble in body fluids. Like it's been this. It's was fired originally at 940 degrees C, where it becomes U308. Known in the industry as HCl insoluble. In other words, it will not dissolve in concentrated hydrochloric acid, hot. Your stomach has 10th normal hydrochloric acid in it, so it won't even dissolve. The stuff is so fine that it has no texture to it. Doesn't even feel rough. So it's tasteless, odorless, has no texture. How's it supposed to hurt me? Because I've been eating this on lecture tour for 2 years, the state of Washington felt it necessary to confiscate my uranium sample so that I would be safe. Dr. Fulton from the Hanford Environmental Health Foundation called up and he says, hey, I heard one of your guys OD'd on uranium today, Galen. And we talked for a little while and he says, oh, that was you. And I says, listen, I can eat all that stuff I want. He says, it'll ruin your kidneys. How are your kidneys? They're fine. Well, you should have been chelated within 4 hours. And I mean, you guys are going to follow me around the country and give me chelating agents every 4 hours after I eat it on lecture tour? He says, we'll give you any medical assistance that you need, Galen. We don't want anything to happen to you. I said, did that include turning out the federal SWAT team 4 days ago to get me? Where are these guys coming from? Well, here's a piece of metal. Density of 19.0. If you know your chemistry and physics, you know that there are only two metals that have that density. Plutonium and uranium. Radioactive pyrophoric density of 19. Outside of a laboratory, most of you can't tell me whether this is uranium, plutonium, or a mixture of the two. Now, I said that it's heavy, and it is. Let's see if it's radioactive. Yeah, it is. Pyrophoric, what does that mean? Pyro, fire, black on the end. The spark that just came off there is pyro, fire, burn. If it's plutonium, I just contaminated this area of Arizona in excess of the EPA's limit for 1 square mile of surface. Somebody laughed. It's serious. The end of progress altogether says that I just contaminated you in excess of the limit for 1 square mile. It's now silver on the end. Tomorrow it'll be black because it self-oxidizes, this black color like this, all by itself. Plutonium does that and uranium does that. Is it hazardous? Yeah, it is, because they take depleted uranium metal and make it into 50 caliber bullets, fire them from shoulder-held weapons. In 1976, they obsoleted tank warfare with these things because it only takes one dogface with one weapon to knock out a 65-ton tank. It'll go through 3 inches of armor plate, and when it comes out the other side, it's that white-hot spark that we just made. And the 5 men in that tank are dead, because it'll burn all of the oxygen out of the air and burn their flesh. 1976, they obsoleted tank warfare, and you never even knew that. They make 10,000 of those bullets every day in the United States. We got enough in arsenal to sink all of Russia's tanks, and our boys in the Defense Department don't even talk about it. Yeah, it's hazardous to your health. Reminds me, lead is hazardous to your health too.
So of course, Mr. Windsor was written off as a kook, but during his more than 30 years of professional involvement in handling nuclear materials, he stubbornly refused to change habits. He considered the used radiation fuel pool as his warming swimming hole. He gave talks in which he licked uranium dioxide out the palm of his hands, which you just saw. And if you pay close attention, you come away that Windsor was not foolhardy. He was well aware of his behavior. In Windsor's opinion, imposition of unreasonably tight rules associated with radiation protection has a cost-increasing strategy akin to feather-bedding practices of railroad engineers. He passed away in his 80s, and his death was from the normal kinds of natural causes. He went to sleep. Through Windsor's talk, he points out physical value in radiated material that some people insist on calling high-level waste. Who owns the plutonium? How much is it worth? How much do they make? Unfortunately, Windsor's message did not receive widespread attention until the 1980s when he gave his talks. So by selling fear, they gain control, obedience, and have their way with us. Fear about the Hanford nuclear waste site up in Washington, disposing of mass nuclear waste, contaminating people with radiation all over. We can go all the way back to Three Mile Island, where you see Jimmy Carter here in boots. Look at the look on his face. He was supposedly an engineer. They're saying the threat is still viable since 1970s, that when it occurred. The Hudson River in New York has uncontrollable radioactive flow going into its waters. That was in 2016. Also around that time, San Onofre out here in California on the beaches had radiation leaks. They've shut her down and shut down that and billed some billions of dollars, $42 billion, I think, to the taxpayer dollars. But Fukushima was the big one, folks. Remember, the radiation's going to come across the Pacific Ocean. It's going to radiate everybody, and everybody's going to die on the coasts of California and Washington and the western states. And here's NOAA, get it? NOAA, putting out a map and fear-mongering that the radiation for Fukushima was going to destroy all life in the Pacific Ocean. It was going to take no more than 2 years for it to reach the west coast of the United States, and radiation was going to increase all over. Yet we haven't seen that happen yet, folks. We haven't seen huge amounts of increased radiation anywhere. And it goes on, this site chronicles the 10 greatest sites of radiation leaks around the world, yet you're not seeing the cancer rates associated with it. You're not seeing the die-off and deaths associated in these areas, as we'll get into, from Nagasaki and Hiroshima on to all the way to Chernobyl and to Fukushima, as we'll chronicle here in a little bit. But you can see all these nuclear radiations from all our nuclear facilities and bomb-making facilities around the world is causing all these problems and contaminations, and they put horrible graphic pictures to show you how terrible, terrible radiation is. All right, so let's look. Let's get into radiation. Hiroshima, Fukushima was back in the 1940s. It's now 2018. Do the math. We're talking about 80 years ago. We should have elevated levels of radiation going off everywhere, people dying everywhere around Fukushima and Hiroshima, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. But what did we just have? We just had Mr. Obama visit there. All right, let's get into it. All right, so some 73 years later, we are seeing the fallout, the results. We should see the radiation. We should see the deaths. We should see the increased half-lives of the uranium and plutonium that was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki that was going to be devastating for them for life to come. Yet we're not seeing reports of that at all, folks. Obama just visited the country. There's no radiation. Nobody's dying of these increased elevated levels at all. And then take a look at this chart. This is from a YouTube I picked up that showed the blast in the 1945 and the expected cancers. 50s, there'd be thyroid. 55, there'd be leukemia as the increased radiation. Stomach cancer, esophagus, breast cancer, pancreas, uterus in the 70s, prostate, pancreas again. And then we have bladder cancer. We have lung cancer. It's going to grow. It's going to have the most effect on our children. They're fear-mongering us, telling it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Well, the problem is It hasn't happened. We can look back on history, even though President Obama famously said, I don't look back, I look forward, and we can see that there's no radiation. We have testimony that there was no damage like what would be caused by nuclear radiation whatsoever. It's all been a big, big, massive lie.
Now I become death, the destroyer of worlds, Robert Oppenheimer, after the first alleged test of atomic bomb. Hiroshima, August 6, 1945. 3 days later, Nagasaki, a plutonium bomb, 1945, August 9th. President Truman informed the press and world that America's war against fascism, with victory over Germany already in hand, accumulated and exploding a revolutionary new weapon over a Japanese target. It was vital that this event be viewed as consistent with American decency and concern for human life. But the bomb had been aimed not at an army base, at the very center of 350,000 people, meaning its large population was still in place and the bomb's effects could be fully judged, and the hills and the surrounding city on three sides would have a focusing effect, increasing the bomb's destructive. Consistent with American decency and concern for human life. Really. August 9th, Truman addressed the American people over the radio, took pains to picture Hiroshima as a military base, which was bullshit, even claiming we wished for the first attack to avoid, and so far as possible, the killing of civilians, when the exact opposite was true. March 9th to 10th, 1945, right before that, bombed to hell LeMay, General LeMay, retrofitted his B-29 bombers so that they could strike at much lower, because dropping bombs at a high altitude did not have as much destructive force, so he put incendiary devices on them to firebomb and carpet bomb the crap out of Tokyo. So on March 9th and 10th, he killed 100,000 people, dropping 1,700 tons of bombs, ravaged much of the capital city of Tokyo, 16 square miles, destroying a quarter of a million structures. A million residents were left homeless. So on May 23rd, 11 weeks later, came the greatest air raid of the Pacific War. 520 B-29 Super Fortress bombers and at least 4,500 tons of incendiary bombs on the heart of the already battered Japanese capital. Already battered. They already nailed it and came back again. This is the same thing they did in Germany. Kurt Vonnegut, his book chronicles that as well. On May 23rd, so the generating gale force winds, the exploding incendiaries obliterated Tokyo's commercial center and railway yards, consumed the Ginza Entertainment District. 2 days later, a second strike of 502 more super fortress planes lowered over Tokyo, raining down 4,000 tons of explosives. Together, the B-29 raids destroyed 56 square miles of the Japanese capital. Remember, folks, this is May, and August is when they allegedly dropped the nuke bombs, which are just more carpet bomb fire bombs, which we'll get into. So, General, even before the Hiroshima attack, General Curtis LeMay boasted the American bombers were driving them back to the Stone Age. Harry Hap Arnold, commanding general of the Army Air Forces, declared in his 1949 memoirs, quote, "It always appeared to us, atomic bomb or no atomic bomb, the Japanese were already on the verge of collapse. This was confirmed by former Japanese Prime Minister Funimaro Kanoi, who said, fundamentally, the big thing that brought about the determination to make peace was the prolonged bombing by the B-29s. Yeah, and the killing of millions and the homeless of millions as well. That'll bring about peace, yeah. Peace by bombing them to pieces. American officials, having long since broken Japanese codes, knew from intercepted messages the country leaders were seeking to end the war on terms as favorable as possible. January 10th, 1945, 2 days prior to the departure for Yalta, MacArthur outlined five separate surrender overtures from high-level Japanese officials. Now, remember, General MacArthur was there at the time, helping direct the bombing. So in January, this is 7 months before the carpet bombing by LeMay and 9 months before the carpet bombing or alleged atomic bombs over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the Japanese were seeking peace. Japanese were offering surrender terms virtually identical to the ones ultimately accepted by the Americans at the formal surrender ceremony on September 2nd, just weeks after they destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. All right, so fast forward to May of 2016. President Obama in Hiroshima calls for a war without nuclear weapons. Oh, my God. President Obama on Friday became the first sitting president to visit Hiroshima. World without nuclear weapons. 71 years ago, on a bright, cloudless morning, death fell from the sky. The world was changed. A flash of light and a wall of fire destroyed a city and demonstrated that mankind possessed the means to destroy itself. So he visits a city that 80 years ago had a nuclear explosion with plutonium and uranium that was increasing in radiation over years and years and decades and hundreds and thousands, getting more intense with radiation. Oh my God. Look at the pictures, folks, of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's a tourist site. People are having fun. The cancer rates, as we'll get into, didn't increase at all. It's just all just a big lie. All right, this is from a quote from Major Alexander Seversky. They've taken down the video of him talking. Quote, in Hiroshima, I was fully prepared for radically different sites. But to my surprise, Hiroshima looked exactly like the other burned out cities in Japan. There was a familiar pink blot about 2 miles in diameter. It was dotted with charred trees and telephone poles. Only one of the city's 20 bridges was down. Hiroshima's cluster of modern buildings in the downtown section stood upright. Remember all the photos of the buildings being destroyed by the tremendous power of the nukes? It was obvious that the blast could not have been so powerful as we've been led to believe. It was extensive blast rather than intensive. Extensive, like fires. I could find no traces of unusual phenomena. The fire had been intense enough to bend and twist steel girders and to melt glass until it ran like lava, just as in other Japanese cities. The concrete buildings nearest the center of explosion, some only a few blocks from the heart of the atom blast, showed no structural damage. Even cornices, canopies, and delicate exterior decorations were intact. Window glass was shattered, of course, but single panel frames held firm, and only window frames of two or more panels were bent and buckled. The blast impact, therefore, could not have been unusual. Indeed.
All right, just to further the point that no nukes were dropped on Hiroshima, Nagasaki, here's a picture of Hiroshima building still standing some 70 years later. You can see it for yourself. So just to recap on what they're telling us and selling us and the story they're telling about these mushroom clouds of mass destruction, that it's going to destroy everything in its sight, that radiation's going to be going on for not hundreds but millions and billions of years, and the destructive force. Take a look at these propaganda, folks. Take a look at what they're telling us. Look at the destructive power of these nuclear weapons. That's a ship. And you're going to tell me that buildings are still standing in Nagasaki and Hiroshima after these detonations? Apparently, you know, some people are going to argue, oh, they dropped it from the sky. That's a bunch of bahooey, folks. It doesn't matter if it's the sky or the ground. It has the same destructive power, and the fallout falls to the ground. That's why it's called fallout, so the cancer rates should be rising. But the point being is that there was no near the destruction described by what nuclear weapons should have been doing at the time they were dropped in 1945, not even close, which makes Hiroshima and Nagasaki another great lie sold. But a lie agreed upon that has been extremely profitable for those in power. All right, so here's Fukushima, Hiroshima. Look what the bombs we've developed since. Look at how much destruction they have. Look at this chart of all the detonation times they've said since 1945 to 98, most of them in the air, explosions going on. Where's all the radiation, folks? Where is it? We're not seeing it anywhere. We're not seeing increased levels around the radiation sites, especially in the United States, which far and away has had the most nuclear detonations of any other country. Yes, we're seeing cancer rates increase, but look at all the toxicity in the world. Look at all the radiation from Wi-Fis, and now the new 5G is coming up. But as this chart shows you, with all the radiation detonations over time, there's nobody that should be left here on Earth once it's gotten up into the atmosphere and all the increased radiation and cancers that we just showed caused by these devices of plutonium and uranium with all their great power. We're not seeing it at all. We're seeing tourism in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. We're seeing life thriving again in Chernobyl, which was supposed to be contaminated forever. The San Onofre plant that was shut down due to nuclear leaks in near San Diego, North San Diego, still suntanning at the beach. New York City, the little Fukushima that happened back in 2016 that supposedly affected millions of drinking water supplies, contaminated it. 23 million people had their water contaminated facility just 25 miles in New York City, and they're drinking water, and they have uncontrollable releases called the little Fukushima as well. And now we're seeing some 7 years later, tourism returning to Fukushima. The tourist sites, some Japanese are touting, come to Fukushima, look at all the beautiful land we have, the mountains, the lakes we have as well. Here's a gentleman's 7 years journey back and absolutely eating the apples off the trees. They're so good. It's delicious. And they're rebuilding in Fukushima as they're going to rebuild a destroyed community. What happened to all the radiation, folks? It's all a hoax. Nuke bombs are a hoax. Nuke plants are a hoax. It's all a hoax.
First came the earthquake.
Within a minute of the earthquake starting to occur, they would have started to experience violent shaking. Some of the instruments in the very sophisticated network in Japan show that these accelerations reached 2 and at a maximum 3G. So, you know, at 1G, anything over 1G, your feet don't stay on the floor, you're airborne. They were shaken very violently for a good 3 to 6 minutes. Some buildings start to collapse. You'd see large structures that would start to sway around. Some people see the ground rolling. It's like the solid ground is rolling in a, like waves at the beach.
Then came the waves.
The earthquake happens off the coast of Sendai on Friday afternoon about 2:45. The tsunami appears some 20 minutes later, something like that, depending on where you are.
So after the Fukushima tsunami and earthquake, over all but one of nuclear power plants in Japan were shut down. Now, Japan is heavily, heavily reliant on power. Nuclear power makes up 30% of their energy sources, and they have to light up Tokyo. Yet we did not see the entire summer afterwards anything happened, blackouts, rolling blackouts, anything happened to Tokyo, Japan, or anywhere can you find stories of any blackouts that were occurring according direct cause from the Fukushima power downs, even though they shuttered 50 out of 51 nuclear power plants in their country. The lights stayed on. How can this be if nearly one third of your power comes from nuclear and you shut down all your plants? And what do we see today? They're just going to reopen the plants again, folks. Why would they reopen them if they had all these problems and disasters and nuclear was causing such devastation? Because nuclear radiation does not exist. It's just a hoax. All right, so let's break down this earthquake. It's been reported that the earthquake was the largest ever seen, 8.9 quake followed by the tsunami. And we have confirmation from other sources that it was an 9.0 quake that struck at 38.3 degrees north latitude. But look at the Mandela effect, folks. Their revisionist history, they've downgraded it to a 7.0 or now a 6.6 when it was reported in an 8.9 earthquake. Now take a look at this picture, folks. It's the downtown Fukushima. That's very hard to see in any pictures. I had to search to find it, but this is downtown Fukushima. Look at all the high-rise buildings. Look at how many tall buildings there were that were still standing after this massive 7.9, 9.6, 6.6 earthquake. And here's all the buildings that were destroyed. 3-4 level buildings, but none of the high rises. Does that make any sense to anybody that the tallest buildings up to 16, 18 floors could stay up while the ones that were made of wood and whatnot would crumple? Doesn't make sense to me with an earthquake at a 7.9 or even a 6.6. So here's the crisis of Fukushima, how the tsunami came on shore, the 4 nuclear power plants that were shut down. And here is from Russia TV, a drone of all the alleged spent nuclear waste that's having to be stored. Look at this, folks. Acres and acreage, tens and tens of thousands of storage bags. They piled up, making room for many more because the radiation just keeps on leaking from Fukushima. It's leaking into the ocean. It's spreading across the Pacific. Look at it all, folks. Look at it all, where they're putting all the stored waste that's going to be radioactive for tens and thousands and billions of years, the radiated waste. Look at it all. And they're saying this is all because of the fallout, and it's just going to sit here. And look where they're putting it, folks. They're putting it right along the shoreline again. They're doing the same thing, allegedly, what they didn't learn from the Fukushima the first time, the tsunami that comes on shore. What happens when the next tsunami hits? They're in an earthquake zone. What happens when that happens? Remember how bad it was? Take a look again. And you're going to tell me that they're going to put all these radioactive waste bags of contamination right along the coastline again so the same thing can happen and it can spread all over? Well, maybe they are doing it that way, because now they're using the radiated soil to build and grow food. How wonderful is that?
At the heart of the debate about nuclear power in this country is what to do with all the radioactive waste that nuclear plants produce. A plan to bury it deep under the Nevada desert has been shelved, and now those spent nuclear rods are piling up. NBC's Tom Costello was given access to one plant in Louisiana and the pool that holds 25 years of highly radioactive waste.
On the banks of the Mississippi, just upriver from New Orleans, sits the Waterford 3 nuclear island. Surrounded by barbed wire, cameras, armored cars, and roving SWAT teams we can't show you, vexing problems with nuclear power. In a massive pool, every radioactive spent fuel rod ever produced at this plant, 345,000 of them. 25 years worth of radioactive fuel rods kept at a constant 90 degrees.
Those spent fuel assemblies are resting in 360,000 gallons of water. Between the rods and the top of the pool, 23 feet of water, providing that radiation barrier.
It takes years for the rods to cool down, but this pool, like so many, is full. So the rods will soon be moved outside to these giant cement casks, where they're likely to stay for decades, since the U.S. currently has no long-term plan for storing nuclear waste.
You're still in a much better situation thinking the pool is at risk.
Nationwide, nuclear plants are sitting on more than 65,000 metric tons of radioactive fuel waste stored in both pools and cement casks. As the waste piles up, the casks stack up, each one weighing 360,000 pounds. Security experts worry terrorists could target the casks with a missile or an airplane. But operators insist they're sealed, leak-proof, and designed to last for hundreds of years or longer. Without a permanent national storage solution, casks and pools are likely to remain, for now, the only solution and destination for America's nuclear waste. Tom Costello, NBC News, Colona, Louisiana.
Yes, permanent waste. All these facilities, it's another huge boondoggle. Estimated at $5 billion a year and growing, because they're requiring to have this elaborate structures with these elaborate containment facilities by elaborate canisters that are meant to hold all the spent fuel that is being created for hundreds of thousands and millions and billions of years without an incident happening anywhere, not just around the world, but in the United States particularly, since we're one of the greatest users of allegedly nuclear power. Remember, electricity is transferred, not created. So here's all the sites that are allegedly storing all of the nuclear power waste sites all around. You see California has a preponderance of it right along the earthquake zone. Does that make any sense to anyone? But they've been doing this for a very, very long time in their storage. Yucca Mountain, another huge boondoggle that was begun way back in the 80s and 90s. They couldn't get it open. They complained about it being shuttered because they couldn't have rail cars taking radioactive waste across the country. But wouldn't it be just like them to pretend that Yucca Mountain is a storage facility when all it is a deep underground military bunker and access that no one will even get in or question because it's a secure site? All right, back to wet surface air coolers and nuke plants. You can see the wet surface air coolers here. And here's a chart from Weather Wars 101, whatever happened to him, showing where tornadoes are occurring or right around nuclear power plants. Another cause d'etre for reasons for the weather being created, tornadoes being created from the nuclear power plants.
Lookout Mountain Air Force Station, a photographic installation of the Aerospace Audiovisual Service, Military Airlift Command, and home of the 1352nd Photographic Group, containing facilities to accomplish all phases of photography. For the Atomic Energy Commission, for joint Army and Air Force exercises, for civil defense, for the Air Force, as well as other government agencies. The artist inking this cell is only one of an experienced team with special skills in all phases of technical animation. The completed cell, as it is finally photographed here, must often effectively portray an abstract or extremely complex idea, the workings of intricate mechanisms or a cross-section of an atomic weapon. The camera division is completely equipped for both stage and location photography. The Air Force Missile Mission, starring Jimmy Stewart, produced and photographed here at Lookout Mountain to explain weapons and policy, to show how both planes and missiles are needed for our defense. Newscaster Walter Cronkite introduced and narrated another of our films, Alert in the Pacific. Screen actor Glenn Ford starred in Taiwan, Isle of Freedom. We have photographed Robert Stack, star of The Untouchables. Vic Morrow, Sergeant Saunders of Combat, another popular TV series. Kathy Crosby, for a commercial on nursing. Bob Hope and Jerry Colonna, with a pitch on physical fitness. And James Arness, Marshall Dillon of the Gunsmoke series. They appeared in Department of the Army films, portions of which were shot by Lookout Mountain crews. Prior to the test ban, our camera crews ranged from the islands in the Pacific to the atomic test site in Nevada, documenting activities for film reports that told the story of nuclear weapons testing by the United States.
So Lookout Mountain in California, Southern California, has been the area of a much chicanery. Dave McGowan cost him his life to write this book, Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon, referring to Laurel Canyon. Lookout Mountain is right above it as well. But it's all been a movie. We had Ronald Reagan, an actor, Oprah 2020, an actress running for president, folks. It's all fantasia. Here you see the flat earth and the dome. They're mocking us with all their mockery they can do just to give the insiders the know. But we have evidence of collusion between Walt Disney and Wernher von Braun, the Nazi German rocket scientist of Wunderkind, who ran the V-1, V-2 buzz bomb programs, who was brought over in Operation Paperclip along with some 3,100 other German Nazis to help run the Apollo program. He ran the Saturn program from its inception, but he was he was accompanied by a bunch of other cronies, getting all the way back to Aleister Crowley, Jack Parsons, who runs JPL Laboratories, L. Ron Hubbard, Scientology, and Walt Disney, who was a member of Ordre des Mollets as well. So out here in California, I mentioned earlier, the San Onofre plant got shut down a few years ago. Radiation leaks, warnings. I was down there at the time. Nobody was evacuated. But look at what they're doing. They're billing the taxpayers for the shuttering of this plant that probably didn't produce nuclear power anyway. It's all part of the scheme, all part of the plan to make us look one way while they're doing something else. And then you see Kim Jong, the latest about the nuclear powers that we must take down because they have nuclear powers. We go and attack Syria with our laser weapons. Syria, because they have all these bad chemical gases that they're gassing on people, and the inspector finds it's chlorine. Chlorine was used, folks, as Trump trumps up more war, just like Bush did before. Oops, there were no weapons of mass destruction, but we killed a couple million people anyway. And hey, we've been starting nuclear wars and helping them with nuclear facilities for such a long time. It just goes on and on and on, and it must stop. We must end the madness. We must end the lies. We must take the money back that's being spent for all these lies, lining the pockets of the wealthy and the rich, who have over $32 trillion of our money in offshore accounts, running boondoggles like NASA, the atomic energy programs, National Energy Commission, and all the power plants and storage facilities. It's all a great hoax, folks. But the good news is there isn't nuclear weapons. We're not going to be destroyed by nuclear arsenals. There's so many other things destroying us today, but it's some small solace to know we don't have to fear the nukes. Anyway, it's a plain truth out. Thanks for listening. I hope you got some information out of this. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace, love one another, and heads up.